A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, how are you doing out there? It's me, Matt Slick, and I hope you're having a good day. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have nobody waiting right now. And just want to thank you for listening and participating. If you're a newbie or not sure what the show's about, I'm a Christian apologist, and I defend the Christian faith. Apologetics is the branch of Christian theology that deals with the defense and establishment of the Christian faith. I've been doing that for about 40 years, and love doing it. What a privilege it is to be able to speak to you. You know, it'd be great sometime if I were out there speaking at a church on the East Coast, which is where the show goes. I'm in Idaho, but it'd be great to be able to be out there sometime and just talk to the people. I've done it before where I've gone to different places where the radio show is, and people just, you know, they like to come in and say hi and stuff like that, and how they enjoy the show, and I'm grateful for that. And if you do enjoy the show, maybe you can call up. I'm just shoot from the hip here. Call up and say, hey, enjoy the show, you know, and what you'd like to see in it, and stuff like that. Again, we have five open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also watch the show. You just go to carm.org, carm.org, on the right-hand side of any page. You will see the link for watching the show. You can watch it on Facebook. And you can also watch it on YouTube. I believe Facebook's working. I mean, a little bit of an issue with it, but I'm staring at it from my end, but it's working. Okay, Charlie said it's working. And there's a chat room there, so a lot of people get in there, and there's 42 right now. We've had about 200. Actually, we had over 1,000 before in the, just watching and things like that. It gets pretty busy. So if you're interested, you can do it. Let's see. How do I sign up for the Saturday seminar? Oh, you mean for... Oh, that's right. I got to talk about that. Thanks for reminding me, Joanne. I'm going to be on with Ray Comfort's group, Living Waters, this coming Saturday. And I'll probably put some information up on the CARM homepage about it. I got to talk to the main guy either today or tomorrow. And I'll just be doing a short 15-minute thing on the inspiration of the Bible. And then they want me to be on a Q&A panel, question and answer panel, and that's fine. And I've been out there to Living Waters a few times and done some video stuff with Ray Comfort. And I've actually done open-air preaching with him as well. Gone out to Huntington Beach down there, Beach Boulevard and PCH, and done that and enjoy it. You know, I enjoy being able to preach and teach, so praise God for that. So I'll give you more information on CARM, when that is going to occur, exactly the times, and I don't know about the sign-up stuff. Just go to livingwaters.com, and you can find all the information that you need right there. All right, we have three schools, school on theology, one on apologetics, and one on critical thinking. The idea is to equip the Christians for the work of ministry according to what the Word of God says that the pastor, elder is supposed to do. And a lot of parachurch ministries exist now. And so what we want to do as Christians is to equip Christians and as ministers of the gospel, we're going to promote Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All right, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And if you go to smile.amazon.com, you can put your favorite charity in, hint, hint, so that when you get something, a little bit of you know, money comes into the charity. It's worth doing. All right, let's get on the phones with Mike from North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. It's good to be back. I've talked to you a few times before, and as you said a few minutes ago, I will gladly thank you for doing the show, doing the immense research you've done throughout the years, and I've gone to your website, to CARM, and researched a few things in the past, and I think it's a great asset that people can use. One of the things I wanted to ask you, just a good point for a lot of people out in the world today, is perhaps sometimes you could talk about the differences between the many many denominations of the Protestant Church, because a lot of people on the street have no clue what the difference is between Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal, Lutheran, you know, you name it, Church of the Nazarene, you know, Church of the Brethren. All those things are out of most people's realm. So,
right.
I'll just let you take it from there. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, man. Well, God bless. Thanks. You going to hang or you going to take off?
Oh, I'll go ahead and hang up. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank
man.
You.
God bless. All right. That's a great question, and I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to give time for people to call in. We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. I went to a Presbyterian seminary, and I went to a Lutheran college. I also, that was the last 2 years of my four-year degree, and I went to a secular college. I went to, I used to attend a Baptist church, also Calvary Chapel, a Presbyterian church, and various non-denominational churches. There are Christians everywhere. Now, when we have denominational differences, which is unfortunate, we have way too many denominations. We are allowed to have differences of opinion according to Romans 14, 1 through 12. And we're not to differ on the essentials. Well, what are the essentials of the Christian faith? The essentials of the Christian faith, as described in the Bible, okay, is the deity of Christ, is his physical resurrection, is justification by faith in Christ, monotheism. These are essential doctrines. Also, Jesus is the only way, and that people are going to go to heaven and hell. The Trinity is true. The virgin birth is true. These are the basics, the very basics of the Christian faith, and I've written a lot about that. You can go to carm.org, carm.org, and you can read up on the essentials. Just type in the essentials, essential Christian doctrine. And you can do also the doctrine grid. Type in that, and you'll see how I've got things arranged. I've been doing a lot of research over this over the years about what the essentials are. Okay, so where do these denominational differences stand? Well, for example, some denominations might be amillennial, where others might be premillennial. Amillennialism is the position that we are in the millennial reign of Christ now, and there will not be a literal 1,000-year reign. The premillennial view is that there will be a future literal 1,000-year reign. There are differences of opinion on that. Then there are differences of opinion on, for example, the charismatic gifts. And so some groups believe that they're for today and others don't. Then there's the issue of, can you lose your salvation? Some say you can, some say you can't. When's a rapture going to occur? Pre-tribulation rapture or post-tribulation rapture or pre-wrath or mid-tribulation rapture? Then there's post-millennialism and the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. The world will be converted to the truth. There are denominational differences, and some of them are more serious than others. So amill or premillennialism, it really doesn't make any difference. Cessationism or continuationism regarding the charismatic gifts, it really doesn't make any difference. It can, depending on a few other variables, but for the most part, it doesn't. There are those who would reject the idea that God predestined people for heaven and hell, which is what the Bible does teach in Romans 9, 9-23, and Proverbs 16, 4. It teaches that. And there are denominational groups that will deny that clear teaching in Scripture. That's an example of a problematic issue. Then there are groups, as I say, who tell us that you can lose your salvation and that in order to keep it, you have to be good. Now, that would be cultic, and there are groups that teach that kind of a thing. Then there are groups that teach that that salvation is completely dependent upon the free will choice of the sinners who are enslaved to sin and are unrighteous and can't understand spiritual things, and all they need is just a correct presentation, and in the wisdom of their own mind, they'll be able to judge and become Christians. That's a false teaching, but it's taught in a lot of churches. And churches divide over things like this. And some people take some issues more seriously than they would other issues. And so we will have people who will reject going to one church because of one thing. So, there's, for example, what do you do if there's a woman pastor, woman elder at a church? Well, I would never go because women pastors and elders are unbiblical. That just go to Titus chapter 1, 5-7, go to 1 Timothy 3, 3 through 6, I think it is, right about there. And you'll see that women aren't to be elders and pastors. I mean, it's just what the Bible says. What gets me is how many people who claim to be Christians don't really take the Bible seriously in so many areas, or they will submit it to their private interpretation, their whims, their justice, their feelings and things like that, and God wouldn't do that. And then there's groups that will hold to the idea, the erring idea, the mistaken idea, that God always wants you healthy and wealthy, and that if you're in some form of sickness or you're poor, it's because you don't have enough faith. There's sin in your life, and that, of course, is a false teaching as well, but a lot of churches teach that. And then we have false teachers who teach that, you know, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, you know, and Kenneth Hagin, things like that. And so there's a lot of denominational differences, and there are some of the main, I would say, the main denominational differences, the main areas deal with the issue of how free are we, free will issue. Predestination is another one, and election, those go together. Can you lose your salvation or not? These are the main ones that I've seen within Christianity that bring division to the body of Christ. So, unfortunately, that's the reality of what it is. So, why don't you give me a call, folks, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. And if I don't hear from you, what I'm going to do is ramble incessantly. And during the summer, things often slow down. So I want you to give me a call. Now, along the lines of what I was just saying, I'm going to go through Romans 14 and go verse by verse. I want to talk about something because, you know, you might as well, about the denominational differences and what we're to think about this. This is what Romans 14 says, and I call this the forgotten chapter. The forgotten chapter. Now, accept the one who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. So Paul is telling us here not to pass judgment on people's opinions. And these opinions are on the debatable issues. And he goes on, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, for the Lord does not eat. For the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. So what he's talking about here are worship days and eating habits. And says, don't pass judgment on these kind of things. These are not the essentials. These are opinions. This is the kind of thing that Paul is talking about. Unfortunately, what we see in the Christian church too often are denominational differences that get in the way. And that's not to say if you go to Calvary Chapel or a Baptist church that they hate each other. Nah, it's not how it works. For the most part, there's a lot of love between the denominations and the members of them. But people do have preferences of things, and they enjoy certain things about certain denominations. And that's how it goes. So there you go. There's the break. Give me a call. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Frederick from North Carolina. You're on the air.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. So what do you got?
All right. I had a question. When God breathed the breath of life in the Adam, did he breathe his spirit in the Adam?
Well, that's a good question. because we have to define terms. The breath of life was breathed into him. And when we, you know, let me go here, go to Genesis, because it says the Spirit of God in verse 2 was moving. So we know that the Spirit of God was there. Now it says the Spirit of God, most probably it's the Holy Spirit. That makes perfect sense. So when Adam and Eve existed, when he made Adam, we don't know exactly how it works. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but there was this aspect of life in the image of God that was breathed into Adam. Well, breath, spirit, they're kind of interchangeable in some areas. So what we could say is that the breath of life was obviously in Adam, but was it the Holy Spirit? Well, I wouldn't say yes, at least not in the sense that we receive the Holy Spirit, because we are indwelt by the Lord God, the Trinitarian nature of God, and this is because of the blood of Christ that's been shed and cleanses us. Now, in the Old Testament, David said, I think it's Psalm 34, he said, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Now, what do you mean by that? Did he mean that the Holy Spirit was indwelling him? Or does he mean that the Holy Spirit was around him, guiding him, and anointing him? So we don't have answers to these kinds of things. So when we go back to the issue of Adam, we're not exactly sure how to answer that question. It's a good question to say, you know, did he have the Holy Spirit? In one sense, yes. In another sense, no. In the sense of, yeah, God is everywhere, and he was sinless, Adam was. So there's probably some fellowship, very intimate, maybe a type of indwelling that we don't know about there, but not in a redemptive sense. I don't believe personally, the redemptive sense, the same way we are, because the blood of Christ had not yet been shed. So it's a tough one to answer. It's a good question, but it's not really easy to answer. Okay.
Yeah.
Good question.
Okay, thanks, Dan, and you have a great day.
Okay, man. God bless. All right.
Bye.
Okay, hey folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ron from Des Moines, Iowa. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Me? Rod? Did you say?
Yes. Oh, it says Ron, but I guess you're Rod. You were on the air.
I'm sorry about that, Mr. Slick.
That's
looking at my notes, and my question is that why is the tribes different in how they surround the temple when they're camping there at the temple? Why is that different from when they are moving the temple? Why are the tribes their organization different, like on the east, the north, the south, and the west?
I don't know. It might be because of the issue of movement and their sizes. And the relationship of how they had to go through topography as God would direct them. But during the encampment, they were specified as how they were to sit, to stand, or to be around the tabernacle. And what's interesting is that when you take the number of groups, I don't know if you want me to go through this, but the number of people, and you put them as it's counted in the four groups of three, the three to the north, three to the south, three to the east, three to the west. And when you put them there and you count the number, if you were to just draw, you know, a box, so to speak, to the left, right, up, down of the tabernacle and just extend it in relationship to how many people were there, it forms a cross. And so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it does. And so it's really interesting. I've got some information on Carm. And furthermore, God says in Exodus 25:8, "Build a tabernacle so I can dwell among my people." And so that's reflected in John 1:14, where Jesus tabernacled among us. He indwelt the flesh. He became one of us. And so there's there. Now, also the 12 tribes had four groups. And the four groups each had a banner or a flag. And the four banners was the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And in Ezekiel, there's a four-faced creature. a lion, ox, eagle, and the man. In Revelation, there's a four-faced creature, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels were known in code as the lion, the ox, eagle, and the man. And so...
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's really interesting. The tabernacle is about Christ. There's more written about it than any other topic in the entire Bible by far. Chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters about it. Like, for example, the gold is embedded inside of wood. Wood is overlaid over gold, the pillars. Well, why would that be? Why not have gold on the outside? Gold represents divinity. Wood represents humanity, the divinity inside the humanity of Christ in the incarnation. So this is what it's like. But
can I ask you one more question, sir?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, what's the significance of the apostles being the foundation there of New Jerusalem? What's the significance of what is it? It's the stones like jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardis, on down there, and then the actual order of the apostles.
Let me just tell you,
what's the significance of that?
I don't know. I don't know what the significance is of the order or the stones. So I just have never studied that. And I don't know if I ever will, because I don't know if it's solvable. It's a good question. It has 12 gates, there's 12 angels, 12 apostles, there's 12 tribes. And so what does 12 represent? Well, there are 12 apostles. Yes. And so there's a numeric consistency. And so what we have to do is look at every instance of the word 12. Then I'd look at any time when there's 12 gates. I'd look for any other time when there's 12 angels. And then look for the representation of the jasper, the gold, the clear glass. For example, in one of the things, it's the throne is on a sea of glass in Revelation. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like jasper, which is... if you go to Exodus 24, 9 through 11, for example, it says, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet... there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. So they relate. You're like, what's going on? It's just a huge study, so I don't have a great answer for you. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the information that you've offered. I really appreciate it. Thanks again. Take care and God bless.
You too. Thanks a lot. Hey, folks, we have two open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get to the next longest waiting person, Patrick from Charlotte, North Carolina. Patrick, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. So what do you got?
I have a question about... Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a question about something you said on, I think it was Monday night when you had mentioned you went to the Black Lives Matter protest.
Mm-hmm. I've been
and
to
you
two.
Said you yes. were carrying a AK-47 assault rifle.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, would you consider yourself a peaceful protester?
Yes.
But I mean, why would you carry an AK-47 to a peaceful protest?
Why wouldn't I?
Because last Tuesday night in Wisconsin, they had a gunfight at a protest. Two people got killed.
Well, that's what happened there. That's not me, and it wasn't loaded. But it's just a display that we have the rights as Americans, which the left is trying to remove and trying to strip us away from. Here in Idaho, there's a lot of conservatives. And let's just say that in Idaho... we don't want to put up with this Black Lives Matter idiocy. And that's what it is. That's not to say that we are... let me finish. It's not to say... I'm certainly not saying that that there haven't been problems with injustices and things like that. We want people to be treated fairly. That's all fine, but Black Lives Matter is a Marxist leftist organization, and it is for the destruction of the nuclear family. It's a horrible thing, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to exercise my freedom of speech and expression, and that's how I chose to do that, along with hundreds of others who did the same thing. Do you think that's wrong?
They had 100 people with guns that night?
Hundreds. Hundreds.
Really? Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, the police are telling the peaceful protesters not even to get involved with the protest because it's the Antifa.
That's fine, but I'm just telling you how it is here in Idaho. And we don't want this idiocy here. Okay, we don't
want
it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that if something were to happen, I mean, people like yourself that really aren't that prepared, you could go crazy with an AK-47.
Do you hear what you just said?
Wait a second.
What you're doing is accusing me of idiocy. You're accusing me of, I'm just going to go crazy. Now, just hold on a sec. I'm well-trained, and there is absolutely no way I would ever want to have to use my weapon. The only time I ever would be in self-defense, the defense of my home, or the defense of somebody else. That's it. Now, do you have a problem with that? I'm just curious. Let me ask you, Patrick, do you have a problem with that?
Why didn't you leave the gun at home and go to the
I didn't want to. Patrick, do you have a problem with what I just said, though, about the right of self-defense?
Well, it was because you had the gun in your hand.
Patrick, do you have a problem with me having the right of self-defense? That's the first thing I'm going to ask.
Not carrying an AK-47.
Okay, let me ask you. Do you have Patrick, do you have a problem with me having the right of self-defense? I'm just asking that question. The answer is yes or no.
Well, like the Bible says,
hey, Patrick,
I would be all right with you carrying a knife.
Patrick, I asked you a question. Do you have a problem with me exercising my right of self-protection? That's my first question.
At that degree, yes. At that degree, yes, with an AK-47. If you
okay,
were to
wait,
have
wait,
a knife
wait, wait,
or
Patrick. If you say yes, that I have the right, who are you to tell me how I'm to protect myself? What gives you the right to say what I should and should not do? What gives you that right?
I think in most states...
Patrick, what gives you the right to tell me how I'm supposed to protect myself? What level I'm supposed to go to? What I'm supposed to carry or not carry? What gives you the right to come on the radio and tell me that? Patrick, can you answer the question? What gives you the right? Are you a leftist? Patrick, are you a leftist? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are
I'm
you
a
leftist?
Christian. I go for love.
I didn't ask if you're a Christian. I said, are you a leftist?
I just said, when you told that on the...
Patrick.
When you're on the radio saying Patrick, that, I said, an AK-47.
Patrick. Well, if you don't like it, don't get one. Don't carry one. That's your thing.
I don't have one.
You don't have the right to tell me what I can and can't do, Patrick. You're like the left.
No, but I'm asking...
You want to tell people what they can and can't do? Is that it? Is that what you're trying to do? Say, you shouldn't do it this way? Are you going to sit here and tell me what I can and can't carry? Is that what you want to do?
If you've seen the
Patrick, why don't you answer my questions?
Patrick, do you agree with that?
What's wrong with that? What happens if I carry my? So what? What's wrong with that? Wait, what's wrong with it? People were out there. Hey, guy. People were out there, and they're out there all over the country defending stores. They have AR-15s. Is that bad? Should they not have AR-15s?
Patrick. There's been people killed just
since Patrick, I asked you.
And I got a feeling.
Patrick, I'm asking you questions. You're not answering them.
Okay, what's the question?
Why don't you listen for a second? Are you saying.
Answered your question.
Patrick,
Patrick,
are you saying that the people who carry AR-15s should not carry AR-15s when they are out protecting their property?
Yes, exactly.
You are. What
and
should
open
they?
Protest
okay, Patrick.
Yes.
Patrick. So, what should they carry, or should they just go out there without anything?
They're
what
supposed to be peaceful, but it's
Patrick.
They're telling
Patrick,
people
Patrick,
to go home.
Patrick.
The bad guys carrying the guns.
Patrick.
By themselves.
Patrick. what are they supposed to do to protect themselves? What do you think?
Protest with other people.
Hey, Patrick,
but don't
I'm asking you.
Down buildings and carry guns.
Patrick, I'm asking you, what do the people carry, or what should they do to protect themselves and their families? What do you want them to do?
Well, you're not going
use
to
harsh
a war.
Language.
You're just going to a protest.
Okay. You know, folks, it's sad. He's a good example of someone not able to think through the issues clearly, who's reactionary. BLM has been up in here in Idaho. It's been up in other areas. We know that Antifa is here. And we know that bricks, pallets of bricks were brought in. And what they want to do is bring mayhem to this country. They want to destroy this country for what it stands for and what it has stood for. Now, here's a question. We go to the Bible. Jesus said in Luke 22:36, Jesus says to the disciples, do you have a sword? No, we have two cloaks. He says, sell a cloak and buy a sword. This is what Jesus said to do. Now, Patrick here couldn't have a decent conversation. He's not having a conversation. He's like a leftist reporter, you know, with an agenda, not really thinking clearly. But when Jesus said to buy a sword, Jesus himself said this. Okay, now this is for the right of self-defense, not aggression, but self-defense. Let me tell you, folks, if someone were to come into your house, what would you do? Now, there's a lot of people who say they just do nothing. Well, they come in your house, you say, it's okay, just go ahead and rob. It's all right. What if they were assaulting one of your loved ones? What would you do? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do whatever's necessary to stop them as fast as possible. Whatever level is necessary and only necessary to protect my family. Now, if we are, as Patrick says, just to not have any weapons, and someone comes in, do you think the bad guys are going to listen to that? Do you think the bad guys are going to say, hey, there's no guns in this area, so let's lay down our guns when we rob somebody? Think that's going to happen? Of course not. They're going to be the ones who go in, and they're going to be the ones who destroy. In fact, the feds, during the Katrina hurricane time, what happened was the government went in and confiscated weapons, went door to door, and the soldiers were ordered to do this. They took away people's weapons. And then the bad guys who had weapons and wouldn't give them up followed after the soldiers and then robbed the people. And other things happened as well. Why? Because the good people were stripped of their weapons. We have the freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment says we have the freedom to bear arms. And whether you like it or not, that's my position. I believe that we have that right because God has ordained this country. And I believe that we have the right of self-defense, as Jesus advocated in Luke 22:36. We are not to seek problems, but we are not to, let's just say, lay down and do nothing while the wicked take over. And the wicked are in this world. The wicked are in BLM. The wicked are in Antifa. The wicked are in the political system. The wicked are all around us. I'm just telling you, folks, that if we don't, as Christians, stand up for our rights, we won't have any left. They're already starting to destroy churches. And BLM is getting out there requiring people to give the one-handed salute in harmony with their cause, or you get, let's just say, accosted. Where's it going to end? It'll only end, well, another time. Give me a call. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Scott from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I mentioned something yesterday on your program,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really explain my point of view, but Matthew 28:20.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What about it?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people call you a legalist. if you say he has to keep the commandment of God, and just in verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, rather than being excused for sinning,
well, he's just
somebody
saying,
actually be going to hell. That's another verse.
Yeah, but
here's the
do,
way that seems right to a man, but the end are the ways of death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm constantly double checking myself. And,
mm-hmm. Is there a question? You want me to address a question, or?
To what?
I said, do you have a question you wanted me to address? To answer?
I can't hear you, sir.
Did you want me to answer a question? Did you have a question? That's what I was asking.
Yeah, one of the people say we have to we're not saved by works, and so you don't have to do them. Why do people say that?
Because we're not saved by works. We don't have to do good works to be saved, but we do have to do good works to demonstrate that we are Christian. That's what James 2, 14 through 26 is about. So if we say we know him and we do not keep his commandments, the truth is not in us, and we're a liar, 1 John 2, 4. So Jesus commanded that we do what he says. That's what we do as disciples. And what Jesus commanded is, you know, at different levels. He wants us to repent, to follow him, to pick up the cross, to love your enemies, to not cast pearls before swines, to come to him, to be a servant, to love God, love your neighbor, love one another, and things like that. So these are the commandments that Jesus wants us to obey. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. But doing those doesn't get us saved, and it does not keep us saved. Okay.
He just identifies us as saved.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Could you repeat that?
Could you say that it identifies
right.
us as saved?
Right. Our works identify us, and as what by what we do. See, people behave based on what they believe. That's it. So you will know my faith by my actions. That's what James 2 is about. So we're supposed to do things,
right.
But it's those doing of those things is not what saves us, because we're justified by faith without the works of the law. Romans 3:28 says. Okay.
I also wonder how secure I am, you know,
in Christ.
And like James, he says, "Don't fool yourself."
Well, you're secure in Christ if you trust in Christ. That's it. If you trust in Christ, it's because he's granted that you believe, Philippians 1:29. And he's granted you believe, 2 Timothy 2:25. And you've been appointed to eternal life, Acts 13:48. So these are the things that rest in the mind, work, and heart of God. And so we're secure in what God has done. We're never secure in salvation if it depends even a little bit in our ability. But what Jesus said is that he would lose none in John 6:37-40. That's because all that the Father gives to the Son will come to him, and he will never cast him out. And Jesus
That's
equates eternal
verse.
Yes, it is. And Jesus equates eternal life with never perishing. And so that's how
well,
it works.
Well, I guess you probably got someone callers.
Yes, we do. All right?
All right.
Okay. All right, Scott. God bless, buddy. All right, let's get to Joanne from North Carolina. Joanne, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
No disrespect to Patrick from North Carolina, but this North Carolinian thinks that you ought to exercise your rights. We'll exercise ours. I don't want to shoot anybody, but if anybody comes at my family, I'm going to get them before they can get my family or my dogs.
That's right.
Now, the reason I called is a Mr. Linton Howell. I don't know if he's outside the United States or what. He's on Facebook and asked that he cannot call. Would somebody please call in? He says, my question is, many Christians believe that God speaks to them in dreams and visions. I think otherwise. I believe God speaks to us only through his word. But they say these dreams and visions come into reality. Does the Bible teach that we are to expect God to speak to us through these other channels? And
yes,
how should we, he says, how should we thread with dreams and visions?
Well, in Acts 2:17,
I was going to hang up and let you answer him. Should we treat, I don't know what it is, with dreams, visions, which may seem to have some sort of meaning. And he says, thank you.
Okay.
So I'll say thank you and let you go.
Okay. Well, thanks, Joanne. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, I know Joanne. She's a sweetie. The Bible says in Acts 2:17 and 18, and it shall be in the last days, God says, I'll pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. In verse 18, I'll in those days I'll pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And, I forgot to skip some parts. It says, and young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So, visions and dreams are part of the last days. The Bible says we're in the last days. That's what it is. So, yeah, we can have those because the Bible says so. And we're to judge all such things with the Word of God. But the Bible says they're going to have visions and dreams. So then they're going to have visions and dreams. And people are having visions and dreams. We know in the Middle East, for example, that Muslims are having visions and dreams of Jesus by the thousands and getting saved. It's happening. Not that we make doctrine by experience, but it is happening quite a bit. And people are having visions and they are having dreams. And that's what the Bible says will occur. In Acts 2:17 and 18. All right, let's get the next longest waiting person, which is Helga from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Helga, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How are you? I have
fine.
A speech impediment, but I've been listening to you for about a year now. And
okay.
I have a quick question. I'm going to hang up afterwards.
Sure.
And I'm calling it in reference to headship. I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And Hasidic Jews pray with their head covered. Do Messianic Jews pray with their head covered? And are they dishonoring God?
Some do and some don't, and it's not an issue of honoring or dishonoring God. It looks like what was happening in 1 Corinthians 11, that the issue of head covering was a demonstration that they were under authority, because the woman is by nature in the husband in a doctrine called federal headship, and Adam represented the world, even though Eve sinned first, sin entered the world through him, Romans 5:12. So what we are seeing here is the issue of headship and representation. So that's why it says the man is the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of Christ in 1 Corinthians 11:3. So when some messianics have their head, women have their heads covered, or some don't, we're not under the law anymore because we've died in Christ, Romans 6:6 and 6:8. And Romans 7:4 says, he who has died is free from the law. So they're not obligated to wear the head coverings. They're not obligated to not wear them. They're free to do either one, and they should not be judged for whatever they do. Okay?
Okay, even the male?
If the male is the same thing. We're free to do that and free not to. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you and your wife.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. All
okay,
right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's get to Adam from North Carolina. Adam, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you could start by steelmanning the position of Black Lives Matter.
Steelmanning?
Yes, steelmanning is in debate when one gives the most charitable position to their opponent's side.
Oh, I'm not going to do that with BLM.
Well, I'll do it for you because I support
BLM.
No, you won't.
You need to ask me if you can do that. And then I'll give you permission to do it. No. BLM is a Marxist anti-Christian organization.
I am not Marxist.
It's a Marxist anti-Christian organization.
I'm not anti-Christian.
Are you a member of BLM? Or do you work with them or something?
Yes, I am. And you are strawmanning us.
Really? Then why does it say on your website that you want to destroy and disrupt the nuclear family?
That's not what I want.
Wait a second. You don't want that, but you joined the group and you're a member of the group that wants to do that.
I support it.
And you support,
you can't.
It says we disrupt
would you,
the Western.
Would you say all Christians?
Hold on. We disrupt mm-hmm. the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. We're going to disrupt it. We foster a queer affirming network. I'm reading their very words.
Okay. I am great with queer affirming.
Okay, and so you want to affirm homosexuality.
I know someone's going to freak out because I said a bunch of letters, but I'm very pro-equality.
Well, I'm for equality too, but not the oppression of
sure.
the heterosexuals.
So you support trans individuals? You
no.
support trans
well, well, well,
people?
Wait.
You don't support trans people?
Wait, please. You have to not accuse. You have to wait.
No, I asked.
You have, let me finish.
Do you support trans people?
No, well, hold on. It's not an issue of support trans people. What does
it mean? It's a yes or no, like you said to the caller.
You hold on a please second. Is that okay with you? When you ask
a
question.
I'm asking you a question like you asked the caller.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
Just doing
I'll
what
tell
you
what. I'll tell you what. What we'll do is get rid of you. We only have a couple of minutes in the show. Now, he wasn't willing to have a decent conversation. So when he says, do you support trans people, what does that mean? You have to ask, because support can be understood in different senses. It's not a yes and a no question. 2 + 2 = 4 is either yes or no. Do you affirm or deny it? So he didn't understand the issue, and he was not applying the logic properly. And since he didn't want to, obviously, well, we'll just move ahead. Folks, look, let me tell you what my stand is about BLM, Black Lives Matter. Do black lives matter? Of course they matter. Do white lives matter? Of course they matter. Do human lives matter? Of course they matter. I don't disagree with that. What we disagree with is the idea that they want to disrupt the nuclear family, and in so doing, they want to promote the homosexual agenda and queer-affirming stuff. Let me tell you how it works, folks. They will destroy the family, they will destroy the network, they will come after the Christians who speak against them. They will come after the Christians eventually when they get power and they are in power. Do you think that the left, who gets in power, is going to say to the Christians, it's okay if you don't believe that homosexuality is okay. It's okay to teach your children it's a sin. It's okay to go to churches on Sunday and say homosexuality is a sin, because it is a sin. It's a rebellion against God, and it's judgment against God as well. God himself will judge the homosexuals in their sin. And they need to repent of it and need to come to Christ. Do you think they're going to tolerate that when they get in power? No, they're not. It's a good thing we have the First and Second Amendments, folks. This is serious stuff, folks. Our country is under threat. Christians, think clearly. Not like that guy who was just on the air. Sorry, Jamal, Lisa, and Tony. May the Lord bless you and by his grace back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See you, buddy. God bless. Bye.